Bro, this podcast, I'm not going to have to say shit. I told Kaylee, I said, this is going to be the easiest podcast I've ever done in my life. I'm like, I literally can be on this conversation for 45 minutes and say three words, and hope it's not carried on the whole conversation.
I'm a man of the people, man. The people for the people.
How are you rolling, Hood?
Oh, okay.
It's on right now.
Okay.
We going.
Well,
Hood's the official CRC of Hurricane CrossFit.
That's right. I mean, everyone's got to have one. Might as well be.
He just got done doing the CRC, actually.
Yep. Yep.
You know what the CRC is, the chief rep counter,
right? That's right. We like to hold our ourselves accountable here.
Well, like you were talking about before we got on the podcast, it's the compiling aspect of cutting reps. It's not kind of going back to our previous conversation. It's one thing you can quantify, like somebody cutting reps. Let's say somebody cuts 15 kettlebell swings. Well, kettlebell swings roughly 2 seconds. So okay, well you can tack on 30 seconds on their time, but cutting those 15 reps, first off, obviously, A, were they able to do all those sets unbroken that they wouldn't have to do an extra break?
Yeah.
And then two, how does doing those extra 15 reps start to quantify the energy wasted on the other reps as well? So how much longer is this workout going to take them as a whole by spending more mental bandwidth and physical bandwidth to complete those 15 reps they did cut? Because inevitably, you're going to cut the reps at the end of a set. Those are going to be the hardest reps of all of them.
Correct.
Right? Just like today with the 30 kettlebell swings.
I know that's where I was personally feeling the hurt.
The kettlebell swings?
Well, typically just in any workout. It doesn't matter which one it is.
It's always like the last couple of
reps. Yeah, it's, you know, the last three reps of whatever you're doing take the longest amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a, it's like we, you know, you're like, why'd you come out so hot? I'm like, it felt good, you know? Then when it don't feel good, you're like, fuck.
Every so often, Hood can come out in a workout and hold on.
It's not that often.
It's about one in 10. It's about 10% chance it's going to happen.
You know,
every so often you pull a rabbit out of the hat.
And then today, afterwards, Mary's like, hey, we're doing these push-ups? And I'm like, man, I don't know. I'm not feeling it. And I'm like, 15 to 20, or it was 15 to 25, and I was doing 17. And I was able to get the 17 through, I think the last two sets I did 14 and 3, and then I did like, I don't know, like 10.
Still wad drunk?
10, 3, 2, 2. And really the only thing I could think of was the conversation that we had previously about the 30-minute EMOM. I was like, whoo, those push-ups are going to get bad.
Well, there's a big difference between doing 14 and doing 10.
Well, I also didn't have 20 pounds strapped to me.
You didn't have 20 pounds strapped to you, and you're coming off being like done, like from a wad.
I mean, yeah, but 30 rounds is a lot.
So the debate that me and Hood had earlier today is that how many people are actually going to complete?
Zero.
The
I mean, not zero. There
30
might be
minute, well, Friday's workout with the mile run to start and then the 30-minute EMOM of Cindy, essentially. It's Chelsea, but yeah. It's Cindy for 30 minutes. Every minute on the
And
back.
With the vest.
With the vest on top.
Without the vest is a game changer.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And I also feel like we've done a lot more vested Murph prep this year.
Compared to normal?
Yes.
Well, every Friday I've been trying to prep leading up to Murph.
Yeah.
We did that one Saturday, and then my objective was every Friday try to do some type of vested piece. That obviously correlates pretty close to Murph-style movements, well, like pulling, pushing.
And to go a step further, I would almost say that this is worse. Like, that workout Friday is maybe worse than Murph.
Well, Ashley, of course, said the same thing. Like, she was saying Lucas was telling her, like, that looks worse than
Murph.
You're
doing 1.5 the reps. The only thing I'd much prefer go do a 10-minute mile at the end versus all those extra reps. Miss 450 air squats. Fuck, that's a lot.
Why you always got to do the math?
Well, because the math's the math. I mean, the math matters.
The math mathing.
The math always matters. I mean, shit.
I'm interested. I don't know how it's going to be.
You know, when's the last time you did, what is it, 150 pull-ups and 300 push-ups?
300
push-ups. I mean, fuck.
Sure, push-ups.
I haven't done 300 push-ups in a while.
I don't know how that's going to go. I don't know. Like I said, poorly. If you can't do Cindy and do 20 rounds, at bare minimum 20 rounds of Cindy without a vest, obviously there's no way in hell you're finishing this workout, right?
No. So how's the, what's it going to look like? if you need to take a round off, I mean, what are we talking about here?
No, I mean, you got to take a round off.
Or just like, or do you just catch up and keep going?
I don't know, because you could be a dick and probably be like, look, if you end up capping on the EMOM, then just go to an AMRAP the remaining time, which would suck also worse. So let's say you make it 15 rounds, and all of a sudden you're
like,
it turns into a 15-minute AMRAP at the end. You could do that. Or you just say, look, just go as many rounds you can of the EMOM and take rounds off where you need to and jump back in when you need to. Yeah. Either way is fine. I don't really
like hit up 15 rounds, take a 2-round break.
But the only bad thing about that is when you start doing that, people start strategizing more.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, well, Sally got 28 rounds. So if I can take the 17th round, I'll take a round off and make sure I get 29 or something like that. Strategize that break a little bit, yeah. You know? So fucking Chris Hood begged to be on this podcast.
I didn't beg. I said, hey, man, I just want you to know you're missing the boat.
Oh, God.
I'm comedy gold here.
All right, so let's bring it back to the beginning, good.
Oh, God.
What year did you start? Was it approximate day?
It was like 7 years ago, roughly.
Did you start with that crew of guys from the bar?
It was, so. So they started coming. And they were like, man, you need to come do CrossFit. And until, like, I would say, like, I'd obviously gotten, I don't want to use the word fat. We'll use complacent.
That makes you feel better about
yourself? No, I've always been in fair shape, so to speak, mm-hmm. right? Like, not yoked or anything like that, but I've always been in just fair shape.
Is that just from playing sports?
Man, yeah, I just lived an active lifestyle, and like, man, you know, even after high school and college years type of time frame, you know, I would play softball 4 days a week or play basketball on Sundays, yeah. And you know, just always stayed active. And then whenever I ended up taking a finance job at the bar, you know, and after kids and stuff, and I just kind of stopped doing as much, And you know, even during those years, I didn't really work out a lot. I just stayed pretty active, and
probably just one-off things here or there.
And then, you know, when you work in sulfur, you know, and you don't meal prep or anything like that, you know, there's only, you know, pick your buffet type of deal, and so
it still does on a regular basis. I'm sure.
Well, not as much, and that kind of starts to add up. And then, man, you know, like it doesn't take long before all of a sudden you're like, holy shit, man! Like, how do
what's the heaviest you got?
Like 205.
What are you sitting at right now?
Man, like 180.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's not like you've been like 250.
But no. But my weight and body composition has fluctuated so much over these years. Like at one point, I think I got down to like 170. You know, but now,
is that when you're actually following the protocol a lot heavier?
No, not at all.
Because I remember last year when we did that.
I wasn't weighing 170 then either. I mean, this is like probably 4 years ago.
Okay.
So like I went from like this 205, I think when I started I weighed like 200 pounds. Mm-hmm. That was rough. That was a rough time. I mean, I was taking a right out the driveway instead of a left. That was tough. And there's a couple moments.
Taking a right out of the driveway. What is that?
Yeah, like, you know, 400. You know,
oh, okay. You're talking about the run.
I take a right. Gotcha. Okay. You know.
Now I'm following.
And you know, getting. I remember. There's been a few moments that were really like, just stick with me, you know.
Is yesterday going to be one of those memories?
Oh, no. Yesterday was, that was pretty par for the course, really. But like, I remember doing a box jump one time and you were like, now you look, you look like kind of like an athlete. And I was like, man, this motherfucker for real? I was like, this is where I'm at in my life. This guy just told me now I look like an athlete, bro. You know, and I'm like, give me a ball of bat, man. Like, let's get into it. But I'm over here looking like a fat ass can't jump on this box. I mean, it's really for someone like myself. That was
when you kind of pride yourself.
That was hard to hear.
Yeah, you kind
of because yourself. I'm when it comes to things like that, I'm, you know, better than average, and to come in here, and you know, I remember one time doing a burpee. It was like burpees over the bar and running and something else. And remember Jess Smith?
Mm-hmm.
She's probably fucking 8 months pregnant and just fucking darting past me doing burpees twice my speed. I'm like, this girl's
Makes you feel
about
like
about to go into labor.
It makes you feel like a bitch.
Makes me feel like a bitch. Yeah. It does. It was very like, so there's been moments where I'm like, God, dog. I almost beat Brandy in a workout one time. She's like, it was Helen. And I was like, man, I almost had you. And she's like, yeah, I feel like shit. I'm like, cool.
I have pneumonia.
Yeah, cool.
So you started 7 years ago with that.
Yeah.
Kind of like on the back half of that crew. Because those guys, I don't know how long those guys just kind of stuck around for.
So not long, not hours. Really not long out. Not that long after.
Which I'm surprised you actually, because usually what will happen is, let's say you start with a crew of people. And
so I came at 5:45.
You have that bond. And then let's say the people leave. A lot of times they all kind of go.
So I came at like 5:45 for a while. I'd say like 2+ years. And you know, I think it's really, it's not like it's the most important thing, but it isn't. It was a good class because there was a lot of people that would kind of push a little bit, and it gave, you know, kind of gave you something to chase or to go after.
Well, your mindset's, that's a little bit different than the mindset of like, you come from a competitive.
I do.
So that helps.
Like, I don't care what we're doing. Yeah, I don't care what we're doing. Like, if it's like, hey, man, like,
because some people can
say the alphabet fastest. Yeah. Like, all right, let's go.
But that comes from a competitive nature, I think, and which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I think a lot of people, and you can probably attest this as well from working with people who obviously don't exercise that, because of the intimidation factor of somebody being really fit than them, they're like, I don't want to be in the same room working out with these people because they're so much more fit. Or
So coming into it, I was anti? Super anti.
Why? Like, okay, so.
Man, I don't, you know what?
That, like, why? Know. Like, what do you even know about it? What do you heard about
I
it?
I didn't.
Okay.
I think it was just.
Stubbornness.
The mind, like, people are creatures of habit, right? Mm-hmm. So you see this thing and they're like, oh man, this is, you know, I used to have some people in my neighborhood that, man, I'd see them running up and down the road doing this stuff. And I'm just like, good job. And, they're like, hey, you should come work out. I'm like, no, I'm good. You know, I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't need that.
I play real sports.
Yeah. Like, and then, so I had this, I don't want to say negative connotation to it, but I didn't think it was, I'm like, that's not for me. And then somehow or another, it's kind of like birds of a feather, right? So one or two people kind of dip their foot into it and they're like, hey, you know, now you got a couple people saying, hey, come do this. So I go do this. And honestly, it was Elliot that got me to.
Is Elliot still a billionaire?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is. He got me to come do it because Barrett was coming in and Elliot.
Yep.
And then they were like, hey, you need to come do this. And I'm like, all right. So it didn't take long for me just because.
To get hooked?
Yeah, because I'm all about the. I love the competitive nature of it. And it doesn't have to be like that for everyone.
No. But for some people, it works well.
But I'm like, man, I like this. Like, I can, okay, let me, you know. And then I, quite frankly, sucked at it. And I never in my life, you know, even the sports I played, like, we just, because I didn't play football. So we didn't power lift, you know, play basketball, baseball. It was never a lot of clean and jerks and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Speed movement.
Yeah, it was more like just lifting some weights and some cardio. So when I got into it, I was like, hey, I kind of, you know, I like this and I like this timer.
The clock.
I like the clock. I'm like, okay, I like seeing what I need to beat or seeing what I need to do. And I think I really liked seeing the improvements. Mm-hmm. You know, when I first started, like maybe a couple months after, the Open was starting. And because I started like right around the first of the year and the Open was starting.
February, March.
And I remember doing the snatches and burpee box jumps, I think it was.
Dumbbell. You did 17.1 was your first Open workout?
It's like the first workout.
That's my top. That's probably one of the first three workouts.
So look, it talked about pivotal moments or like seeing things. So I think I scaled it, right, with the weight. Like, I don't even know what dumbbell I was using. Like, let's just call it a 35 pound dumbbell. I think I got through like the round of 30.
Time capped?
Yeah. Damn. And I was like, motherfucker, this sucks.
Like halfway, bro.
But then, yeah, I know. Stupid. I mean, fuck, I can be mad. So I was hanging around one day afterwards, and you were still actually doing the open.
Yeah.
And I watched you redo the workout.
Is that the one you saw me crawl out the door?
And there's like, you look like fucking Beethoven on the movie The Dog, like fucking spits flying out your mouth. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? And I was like, that's a dark place. You know, like
dark.
I don't know that I've ever really seen you push like that in a workout in years since. And I was like, golly. And then, so like I said, seeing the improvement like years later, I don't remember when, it was a few years ago, they redid the workout.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I did an RX and finished and, you know, under the cap or whatever it was. And I was just like, man, XYZ years ago, I couldn't do a third, you know, half of this with half the weight, you know? And so I like seeing those kind of improvements.
I judged Leland that morning, and Leland on the run of 50 did all singles. Dropped the dumbbell from overhead. 1, 2. Was this over the workout completely?
There's, you know, in doing that particular workout, I think, you know, in years later, I learned how to like transition my hands.
Yeah, that's a lot faster.
And there's little things, you know, that you learn. And
efficiency tips.
Yeah, whenever you're talking to people about a workout or whatever, you know, and like, you get to a point to where you see these things. And that was a new thing. I think that was something else to me. That was weird for me, is like seeing something and having no clue what it was or how to do it or what the best way to do it was. Sure. And so like, you know, it's, you learn as you go. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, that wasn't a very good way to do that.
The first time?
Yeah. Or
the
30th time.
You don't know what you don't know. So I guess coming from a background of being athletic and, were you kind of those guys like everything kind of came a little bit more naturally to you?
Yeah, I mean.
And then coming in here and you're like, this is completely foreign. I'm getting my ass kicked and I suck at this and I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like saying hats off to you, because a lot of guys, especially coming from that kind of background, would automatically say like, fuck this, I'm not doing this because this is outside, too far outside the comfort zone. Yeah. I suck at this, I'm not doing this.
So I don't necessarily think it's like I suck at this so much as it's one of those things, like CrossFit's one of those things where like you can have you're going to have a hard time finding something that will push you to that limit, to that quitting point, to that, because there's no other, there's not another sport out there that I can think of that like, man, like I can't go, man. I can't breathe. I can't do this. I can't, you know. And like, you're just trying to find like, how do I move right now? You know, like, how do I get through this? You know, and in that,
I guess you could probably say something like that from like an Ironman or something. But at the same time, you've done those 100-mile races or
me and Ted went and did a 30-mile run.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I'm sitting there telling myself, I'm like, oh, man, this can't be a fatigue thing, because it wasn't a fatigue thing, but it was. Like my muscles started cramping up, my legs started cramping up, my calves, and all like. And so I've recently discovered that obviously it has nothing to do with
endurance.
It's conditioning, you know, like whether your body can take that kind of a beating for that long doing you know, that certain
thing. I think the majority of people, it's not something like an Ironman. I mean, to a degree, obviously you do have to have some form of endurance. You can't just come off the street and go do an Ironman. But I think for a lot of people here who come consistently, they have their aerobic base to probably do okay. Like go run, you know, a half marathon or a marathon. It's really the joint preparation leading up to that, right? Like ankles, knees, hips.
No, it's knees, hips, calves, feet. Like, you know, your feet. I think I lost like 3 toenails running a half marathon.
Oh, a half marathon?
Yeah.
Which I felt
like was pretty good. Ted was like, hey, maybe we're gonna run this half. I'm like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I think we ran like 10 miles one time. That's the farthest I'd ever run before, like in a single setting.
Yeah.
And then and Landry was having a basketball tryout. And I was like, hey, look, dude, we got to get this done as quickly as possible. I'm like, so you set the pace and we'll just get it.
Shit.
And
how was the rest of that afternoon?
Man, it was tough. I actually went and played golf afterwards. But the next hour Man, it was pretty tough. Like, I got in the car as soon as we were done, drove to Iowa, got out the
Oh,
car,
sitting down for like
got,
30
yeah, got
minutes.
out the car
Ugh.
and like stood up and was like, oh shit.
That's bad.
I was scared to take my shoes off because I was like, I know my feet are blistered. Like, they have to
Yeah.
be, you know, they have to be bad.
Yep.
And then
It's
I looked
not.
down and have like four black toenails. I was like,
Yeah.
this can't be normal.
Where you see those guys and they get down like the Boston Marathon and they're like trying to go up and down
And
stairs
can't
and
it like
shit.
can't yeah I so I tried to climb up a like one bleacher. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna sit on the bottom.
Yeah. They like basically have to go up sideways.
Yeah, I mean it's but I feel like doing what we do, you know, gives you this huge base, you know, that you're like, hey, we can go do this. Or, you know, like me and Ted were talking about going to an Ironman. I'm like I just, my thing is, I'm
Is that
not
why you got Chad's bike?
yeah, it's
Okay.
sitting in my garage, two flats. Yeah. We have to
Got
figure that
to buy two new tires?
out. I don't know, maybe.
Well, you don't have, they have that
But
tube in there or
there's no
whatever.
possible way. First off, I'm not buying a bike. Secondly, I'm not wearing a wetsuit, you know. So,
Well, you're gonna have to if you do one.
nah, I just wear some shorts, bro.
You're gonna wear board shorts.
Not board shorts, some swim shorts.
Like tights?
No, get the
What
fuck
do
out
you
of here.
mean?
What do you mean? What
Are
do you
you gonna
mean?
talk about Speedo? What are you talking
No,
about?
man, I'm not wearing one of them caps either. I'm
So what are
not.
you gonna swim in?
Listen, man, look good, feel good, play good.
What are you gonna swim in?
Some fucking Lulu shorts. Who
Some
cares?
Lululemon shorts.
What do you think they're
You're
gonna
gonna be the
do?
only son of a bitch out there in Lululemon board shorts
That's
swimming.
okay. That's okay.
All right,
So
bro.
he's
You're
like,
gonna do a full Ironman and a half Ironman?
well, we're talking about doing a full, but it's like a year from now, like a year and a half from now. And
Is it gonna be in Houston? Where's that?
I don't know where it is. I can't remember where he sent me, but it's like, man, it's a lot of money to do it. So
Well, he says, what, like
it's like 850. I
850 to
mean,
do
that's
it?
ridiculous.
I didn't realize it was that much to do an Ironman.
No, that's.
Because Chad was talking about the Ironman. I mean, by the time you end up signing up and you buy the bike and you buy the equipment, and you're like 6 grand deep into this thing.
Yeah, I'm not buying a bike. Yeah,
I mean, the bike's like 2 grand.
I'll ride it on the Huffy
Mountain bike
before
up there.
I fucking buy a bike.
The pegs on there.
It don't matter. And most people get hurt because they're clipped in and they can't get their feet out. So I'd rather one with no clips anyway. But I guess that's what gives you like
Like
a little more
you get more
power.
leverage. You get leverage. Because even Abel was talking about that when he rides Peloton,
Had one of
that
those. Had one of those.
he would ride at first not clipped in, but he was
Yeah.
saying how much easier it is to bike when you are clipped in.
Really hard to fall off a Peloton though.
Can't fall
I
Peloton.
mean, if you do, that's tough.
Yeah, I can't do
Probably shouldn't
that.
get a rip. Probably shouldn't get a real bike. And I'm looking
So
at,
are you gonna do it? It's
I mean,
official?
yeah, I mean, I
Have you
think
officially
so.
signed? Have you put the
No, we
money
haven't
down?
signed up, but I mean,
Okay.
I mean, sadly, I think we both share a similar mentality, and it's like, you know, fucking whatever, you know,
Whatever happens,
whatever
happens.
happens, happens.
I mean,
All
are
right,
you
hey,
gonna?
listen, man, I'll fucking quit.
I mean, are y'all actually gonna train for this thing, or
I
just gonna
mean,
show
I
up?
think I would like, I would semi-train if that's fair, like maybe swim some laps in the
You definitely need
pool.
to get some swimming
And
in,
like, yeah,
dude.
but I mean, I'm a pretty fair swimmer, so I'll swim some laps in the pool and maybe like ride a little bit. But
Is it a
like,
2 mile swim?
I don't know. I
That's a
thought it
long
was a mile. It
ways.
could be two. I don't
I don't
know.
know. I
Two
know
seems
it's.
like a long way.
Well, also it's a marathon where they're running. It's
I
what,
don't think
100
you
miles
get
on the
to.
bike?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like once you get on the road, like you can kind of keep trotting, you know, if need be.
Well, you can kind of walk,
I
jog,
mean,
walk, jog
yeah,
if you really
you
need
can get
to.
there. I think though, like. My thing, whenever I say I'm not going to train, is there's no way you're going to catch me on a Sunday riding for fucking 4 hours.
Well,
Like,
you
it
hear
ain't
those guys all the
happening.
time, like we're on a 6 hour bike
Yeah,
ride.
not doing that. Not
That's
doing
a
that.
the amount of time consumption to do that stuff.
Yeah, not doing that.
So we were talking to Adam Walker,
Yeah.
and he does
Well, and he
marathons
used to
now.
come here.
Yeah, he's come here, and I saw him. This is probably a year or two ago. I saw him at Great Harvest one day, and he was training for a marathon. And I kind of asked him about triathlons, and he's like, "Man, it's so much volume of training. The amount
Yeah.
of hours you
But
put
you
in."
have to, because if you don't, I'm telling you, I mean, I've told you this story and everyone else can hear it now. We went and ran we signed up for a 60-mile run,
It's not just
okay?
a run, you're talking about a trail
Yeah,
run.
but well, yes, a
That's
trail run, which is a
different
little di it's
too.
a different animal for sure,
Yeah.
because like I said, we ran this half marathon and I think it was like 151 was the time, which I think it was like somewhere around an 8:30 pace, something like that. These trail runs take exponentially longer because
Well,
you're
the
not
curves, the
running on a road,
rocks.
you're running up and down stuff. I mean, it's completely different. The time frames are not even, they're not even the same, right? And mean, we're rolling. Like, I felt like I was rolling through like 12, 13 miles, you know, and I had this like in my mind, I was like, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna get these first 5 miles, I'm gonna get this first loop, this first 20 mile loop done in like
so it's three 20 mile loops.
Sub 5 hours, second one, maybe around that 4.5, 5 hour mark. The third one, the goal was to finish it. I think for me, like what my goal was to finish it before midnight, but maybe banking on something around like 10, you know, 10 o'clock at night, you know, roughly start at 7, you know, finish around 10, maybe 10:30, 11.
And how
did
this finish?
So this lady.
Did you quit after the one first loop?
Yeah, absolutely. I did. Cause I didn't run at all leading up to it. And, this lady who, I mean, I'm telling you, this lady was like, I'm going to call her in the late, her, it could have been mid 50s to early 60s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, something like that. I mean, it was roughly Pentecostal lady wearing a skirt with some cats on it and comes running past me at about the 17 mile mark. And I say running, I use that term very loosely.
It was
I was walking and she was walking faster than me. In this very slow shuffled trot.
Yeah.
And asked me, you know, like, hey, you okay? You know, I was like, yeah, I'm good. You know, and I mean, I wasn't good. And never saw her again. And I asked Ted if he saw the lady. And Ted's like, yeah, I saw her at about the 15 mile mark on my second loop as I was sitting on a log. And she asked me if I needed some help. And never saw her again. You know, and I'm like, man, that's fucking nuts. And then after we're done, Marie's like, man, you know, did you see that lady with the cat? You know, and I'm like, did I? Yeah, I saw her. You know, guess how far she's running? I'm like, I don't know, man. I was like, she goes 100 miles. I'm like,
she's doing 100
miles? Like, get the fuck out of here.
So she's doing 5 loops.
I'm like, 100 fucking miles? Hey, look.
How long does it take?
That
hours?
Lady finished. It was a 30-hour time cap. She finished 30? In 29 hours and like 30 minutes.
So she timed that thing out properly.
Well, fuck, I guess. But she finished it. I already told
her. Is
them,
that
like
nonstop? You can't stop at any point.
Well, I mean, no, you can stop. You can take a little break.
Well, I know you did, but I don't know if she did.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you figure it was 5 loops at 5 hours a loop. I mean, I guess she gave herself 4.5 hours worth of leeway. I mean, roughly. She finished. I mean, I finished the loop in less than 5 hours. And I mean, so she finished faster than me. But I mean.
So you got to finish a mile, what?
Let's just.
30 minutes or something.
I mean, just do the math there, though. Like, you know. I mean, I'd have lost my house. You'd have told me that lady was going to finish 20 miles before me. I mean, a 20 mile loop before me. And then I'd have lost someone else's house betting that she was going to run 100. And
but,
she did.
So
it's training. So, yes, you have to
Well,
train.
Yeah, obviously you got to be conditioned for it. But the question, so what stopped you from finishing out?
What?
It's just is knees, that a, hips?
I mean, I can't tell if that was a
No, I mean, serious. Like, was it knees, ankles, joints? What a condition was.
So it was my hip flexors were starting to, like, were hurting. And my calves, like, I could tell that they were starting to, and I've got big calves, but I could tell that they were starting to, like,
well, when you have no muscle there to help propel you forward.
That's not what it is.
That's what your shin bone
is
taking
them. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a fucking grind. And you can't train for it. I don't care. You want to go train for it? Go run up and down parking garages.
Oh, like the heels, like
yeah,
going up.
Go
in
run up and down a parking garage.
Dude, it's so much different running up elevation. Like actually, like up a hill compared to a flat surface. Because here, it's everything's fucking flat. Right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to let's say you're training for a half marathon.
Like you can't go to St. Houston Jones Park. That won't do shit.
Well, let's say you were training for a half marathon or even a marathon, and you went to Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
You'd be fucked.
Oh yeah.
The amount of uphill and downhill is completely different.
And then in a trail setting, it's way worse.
Well, uneven surfaces. And
I mean, because you're just like, it's like a climbing feeling. Like, it'd be like doing just this ungodly magnitude of box step-ups is what it kind of feels like. But you're trying to go quick, too, because, you could walk. But, I mean, then you're not going to finish, you know? So, like, there's.
We got to do Chad.
Oh, man.
1,000 box step-ups.
No, we don't. They did that at the downtown gym one time. I was like, I'm not doing that.
How long would it take them?
I don't know. I wasn't doing it.
1,000 box step ups.
I think it's weighted too.
It is weighted.
Yeah, not doing that.
I think it's supposed to be a thing.
Thousands a lot. I mean, it just seems boring and monotonous.
It
it's
would
not
be.
Like you couldn't do it.
It's just beating your head against the wall.
Boring. Yeah.
For an hour and a half.
Oh, look, another box step up.
You gonna go do that High Rocks race?
Yes.
Have you officially signed up for the High Rocks race?
No, because I haven't opened it, but I'm gonna do it.
Because when's the race?
What the High Rocks?
The High Rocks.
I think it's like later in the year.
Yeah. Like in the fall?
Yeah. Like, yeah, October, November time, maybe something like that.
So if you guys don't know...
Really, just because a buddy of mine. I saw a buddy of mine that goes to, like, OG or something like that. And I really wanted to do the team format, but he didn't want to do it. So
if you guys don't know, they call it the fitness marathon. It's 8 stations, 1,000-meter run before each station, right? It's before each station. Because I know you finish the wall balls, and then you're done.
You do. It's 8 stations and 8 runs.
Yeah, but you start each station off with a run.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there's a 1,000-meter run, and there's 8 stations that you have to go to, and each station is separated by that 1,000-meter run. So 8K with the running, the 8 stations... I remember off the top of my head. I know you got
It's farmer's carries, burpee broad jumps.
80 meters.
It's sled.
Sandbag lunge.
Sandbag lunge, sled push.
Sled pull and push.
Yep.
Think calories on the rower, ski.
Skier, and then wall balls.
Yeah. It's 100
But it's only, I think so. But it's only like, the wall ball is like maybe like 14 pounds. The sandbag's not that heavy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I mean, to me, it's no different from us grabbing. It's easier than us grabbing 50-pound dumbbells and lunging down the driveway. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, I still feel like in the most part, if you came from more of an aerobic background, you'd probably still be okay. If you even had an aerobic background, you had like a little bit of experience, like a little bit of weightlifting, you'd probably be all right. Like, you couldn't just be like a pure endurance athlete and do really well on it. But you would, even if you had like, you ran a lot and did a lot of endurance stuff and you lifted a couple times.
I still
times
feel like
there,
it's more of a runner's workout.
Oh, for sure.
You know, it's
no doubt about it. And the weight's not enough of a separator.
No, I don't think so.
If you had like 80-pound dumbbells, that would be different.
But. Yeah, and I'm not a runner. So, and people, I hate when people say, they're like, you run well. I'm like, I run well in short distances. Like, you weren't, like, I can leg out a double, you know. But I'm not a big fan of running longer distances.
Well, it's like, it's kind of those things where, I'm not saying like I'm a good runner by any means, because I mean, it's not like I'm running like
I know you're not either, because I hear you running. It's loud. Like a fucking train coming down the road.
I'm not a good runner.
You step loud.
Yeah. It's probably why I got knee problems.
Probably. You breathe loud too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you push
you're usually in front of me, so I can't really hear that much. It's just when you're laughing at me.
I just don't enjoy it.
No, because it's not fun. Listen, I don't know who the fuck enjoys running. It's not a fun thing. It's literally unenjoyable.
Like, you said, hey, go run this loop.
There's no
Hambry
such
Elliot. No.
A runner's high is not even a real thing.
It's so boring. Like, every so often, like back in the day, especially when I was competing, like once a month or so, you know, we'd go out for like a 2 or 3 mile run. And I was like, this is so boring.
Yes.
I cannot do it. But everybody, different strokes, different folks.
That's right.
Some people say the same thing when it comes to like lifting. Like,
I think it's
so
more that I think like doing like, so for instance, like this Ironman thing. I think for people like myself, it's more about like, man, I'd like to just say I did it rather than like, ooh, once I do that one, I sure would like to do more. I'm like, I don't think that.
It's kind of checking the box. Like, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to a degree, I guess if you get into it enough, you could kind of, you know, let's say, I don't know how long an Ironman, the average Ironman
time is probably
15 hours, maybe.
15, no, I don't know. Not 15 hours.
12 hours?
No. I don't know.
I'm throwing numbers.
15 seems kind of high. I mean, you got to think if you rode a bike at 20 miles an hour,
what's the average marathon run? 3.5, 4 hours?
I would say
an average marathon.
I would say 4 hours.
Okay, so let's say it's 4. That's 4 hours off the top.
I'm just guessing.
Because you got
to
run.
I mean, maybe so. Fuck. Maybe like 10 to 12 hours.
12 hours.
Okay. I don't know how long it takes to swim that far. I mean, I can't imagine it takes more than an hour.
I would say an hour to an hour and a half. I don't know how strong. Because I know there's caps. Like, I know. They cap you at certain stations. So if you're not out of the water by, I want to say it's like 2 hours, you get capped.
Oh, man, boy, fuck. If you can't swim that far in 2 hours, you probably got to be
a long time.
You've
been treading water.
Then we get back to the whole, you know, get back to the whole, like, fatigue issue factoring in later on in the stuff. Like, you know, if it takes you that much longer to run or swim, you know, it's going to take you that much longer
compounding.
To bike. It's going to take you that much longer.
Like, yeah, it's all compounding.
But then you watch those people, man. Some of them, like, you watch these people who are good at them, and they're like, they do their marathon. I mean, they do their marathon at like a fucking running at
miles.
A 6 minute mile.
Yeah.
You're like, bro, I can't run a fucking 6 minute mile
fresh. That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, I can, but it's like when I'm done,
yeah.
I'm like, holy shit.
You know? But that's kind of the deal, though, is, I mean, you could
condition.
Like, let's say you do one, like, kind of going back to the original conversation of like checking the box. let's say you do it and say it takes you 12 hours to do it. Like, oh, I really want to try to get it sub 10 hours, right? Like, it'd be a goal. But I don't know. Going back also, part of the original conversation of the amount of volume and training to achieve that is which, super again, high.
Which I'm not willing to do.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's like I want these things, but I won't work for them.
Well, I think you got to be a piece of that. I think I am, though. Well, I think some people are going to, it's one, it's kind of like me competing. Like, I know what it takes to compete in this work also. I'm like, I'm not willing to put
hard
all
to push yourself there. Yeah.
Well, I'm not willing to put all that work all in the work that like, takes all the volumes like that. I'm like, it's just.
It's a lot like eating. Like, I want to have abs, but I also want to have cookies. It's fucking weird. Can't have both.
Which one's more important?
Literally can't have your cake and eat it.
Which one's more important?
You know, I've been doing better, though. Legitimately, I've been doing better.
Every time I had this conversation.
Part of why I've done better, though, is because of Charlie. Because,
well, Charlie came in here last week, the week before, asked about nutrition.
Yeah. She, you know, and that's been a fun thing for me. You know, watching her, you know, have some, and I'm going to use the word success, being like losing some weight and doing some
stuff. How much weight has she lost?
Like 30 pounds.
Okay. Which is significant.
Heck yeah, it is.
Especially for somebody who's like, you know, how tall is Charlie? 17?
Mm-hmm. Well, she's about to be.
About to be 17? Mm-hmm. She's a junior?
Yeah, she'll be a senior. If she passes her classes.
Yeah, man. Let's throw Charlie in
the bus. I mean, she'll get there. It could take some summer schooling, but.
But I mean, 30 pounds for a high schooler ain't no joke.
So, no, and especially where, like, at where she was being, like, not a lot of, you know, like, physical activity, you know, it didn't, you know, eat supremely by any stretch of the imagination. But like that's kind of the cool thing. Like whenever she started coming, mm-hmm. or I say, it's not that she wouldn't go. It's that if I said, hey, come on, we're going, she would go. But she wouldn't do it on her own. Does that make sense? It's like I have everything.
Like you had to initiate the action.
Yeah. So like I have everything in the garage to where if you want to go work out, you can.
Well, that's
work
originally
out,
how it started, right? You just say, hey, let's.
I'm like,
hey,
let's go work out in the garage, and then it didn't. You know, I'm like, hey. You know, like you ask me what to do, and I'm like, I'm like, here's the stuff you need.
Sure.
But she doesn't want to go do it. You know.
Well, I remember you even having this conversation with me. Oh shit, that's probably a year or 2 years ago. You're kind of like, hey, I'm kind of wanting to get my daughter into working out. Well, you know, and she's kind of voiced some interest in this. I don't know what's the best practice about doing.
Yeah, and it's tough. It's especially with girls. You know. Trying to have that conversation, you know, like, hey, you know, like, you need to work out, you know, like, you want to say it, but it comes from a place of love because I'm like, hey, look, I want you to feel good about yourself. Yeah. I want you to be healthy. I want this. And it's, and one thing I really and truly believe now about this, it gives people a better way of life. Mm. 100%, like no questions asked.
Well, it's one of those things. How much easier the rest of her life will be if she can implement the healthy practices now.
Yes.
And that's one thing I've always...
you're going to create habits one way or another, either good habits or bad habits.
Bad habits. And I've had this conversation before with people who are younger here at the gym, where older people will come to them and, you know, say something like, I don't know why you're working out. You're 21 years old. Who cares? You still look great. You can lose weight, no problem, blah, blah. And I always tell them, like, if you don't start now, when you don't have a big girl job, you don't have kids, you don't have a spouse to dictate things, it's going to be a lot harder in the future. As life gets further and further down the road, this shit is going to be a lot harder to come.
That's right. There's more.
So if you can start now and start to establish now and like understand the benefits of doing it and sort of develop this habit, how much easier is it going to be for you to keep that longer down the road?
Yeah. Like I've been trying to get for years and years and years, trying to get my little brother to come work out, and he won't do it. And that's fine, you know. But I'm like, and he's that, well, no, you know, if I can get in a little bit better shape or if I can do this, then I could, you know, and I'm like, I tell people all the time, like, because I'm from once being a huge
anti
CrossFit person to a, you know, my friends would be like, oh, how many burpees did you do today? And I'm like, oh, let me tell you about it. You know, and
that's sort of the douchebag he asked about CrossFit.
Yeah, but I don't care. Like, it doesn't matter. You know, so I'm like, yeah, let's talk about it. So, to go to the complete opposite spectrum of it, because I understand and see the differences that it can give somebody. Like, I'm 41 years old. I'm in better shape now than I've ever been in my life, you know? And that goes back to when I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do now what I could do. I couldn't do then what I can do now.
Sure.
No questions asked. And the biggest thing of it is, the reason why is because when I was younger and I did stuff, I would do stuff for a season. I would do stuff for a little while. And then
for
I would
like
stop.
A temporary aspect.
Yes,
right?
I would do it for 6 months. I would do it for a year. I would do it for, you know, and then take a year off and then do it for, you know.
Well, you're probably doing it for more shallow reasons, like, oh, we got a beach trip coming up.
Yeah,
so
right.
Working out 3 months ahead of time.
Yeah, you know, maybe so.
Beach,
yeah, but now it's like, hey, this is just a way. It's just a way of life. Mm-hmm. You know, like I see Matt and Sarah in here, and I'm like, man, that's what's up. You know,
be like that at 60 something
years
old.
Fuck yeah, you know, that's awesome. I mean, and that takes, you know. It takes a habit,
yeah.
You know, and if you don't have that, you're never going to.
Well, let me ask this. Kind
you're, of not gonna, you're not going to adopt. It's going to be hard to adopt that at 55.
Well, I mean, and hats off to people where like Matt and Sarah. Well, Matt, 30 years of kind of grinded his own and never really worked out for 30 years.
But Matt's right? always been, like, I used to play hockey with
athletic,
Matt. Like, Matt's always kind of,
endeavors.
He's got that competitive drive to him.
Well, obviously,
you know?
I mean, look at the guy.
Yeah.
And you can tell he's like very competitive in that sense. But even for a guy who really didn't do any type of working out, picking it up at, you know, I think at the time, Matt was in his late 50s at the time when he started. And obviously the development that he's had over those, you know, roughly 10 years he's been doing it now. Has been pretty impressive, and it's hard as somebody at his age.
Those are going to be more your one-offs, you know, like that's your 10 percenters.
Well,
you know?
We've had conversations as well where, you know, he has buddies his age, and you know, they had every excuse in the book as to why, like, and they're, you know, too old or whatever it may be. And I'm sure you hear that shit.
So
I mean, people that are my age or younger than me.
So I'm friends with, I'm good friends with Sarah's sister's husband, right? And I'm like,
so her brother,
like, her brother-in-law. I'm like, Wayne. I'm like, how come you don't look like them? You know, he's like, oh, well, you know, like, I just watched him trip over a chain. You know, I'm like, bro, we got to do something for you, buddy. Like, man, life's not going to get any easier, pal.
So what do you, like, we'll have these conversations with you. Because, obviously, I have my bubble here. And I don't deal with, you know, people who are, like, anti-fitness.
So they're not, I wouldn't say most people are, like, anti-fitness so much as they're just, like, the conversation will be, like, you know, and for me at my age, you know, I have Charlie and her friends, you know, and I'm just like, you see her friend's parents, and I'm like, we don't really look the same, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm like, you know, whenever I have a bunch of buddies, you know, and they'll be like, oh, well, man, if I could do that, I'm like, but you could, I mean, you just choose not to.
Well, real quickly, pause in that conversation. How, like, so I know Lacey says this a lot, where you don't realize how much hate you get until you get to a certain fitness area, right? Hello, Kel. We're on a podcast right now.
Okay.
Kel's interrupting our podcast.
Bye, y'all.
And so people will all of a sudden start putting you into this fitness box where, like, well, I wish I could be you and do what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You're like, well, bitch, 5 years ago I was where you were.
Yeah, and that's always been a big like, that's, I tell my salespeople that. I tell people that kind of stuff all the time. I'm like, listen, we can have this conversation again in 2 years or again in 4 years. Or I've had that same conversation with myself. I remember when I was thinking about going back to school, and I'm like, oh shit, man, it'd take me 4 years. And then 4 years pass, I'm like, well, fuck, I'd have been done by now. But now I still need 4 years, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, like, you look back and kind of like, for my brother, you know, or Charlie, you know, like, if you ask her right now, she'd say, oh, I wish I would have started combing 2 years ago, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but if you, until you see a result from something, you don't, in no way, shape or form, do you want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the hardest part. I'm like, I'll tell friends. I'm like, man, you need to come, you know? I'm like, the hardest part's going. I'm like, once you go, though,
Initiating. You
can be good. I'm like, but you can't go for 4 days. You can't go for 3 days because those are going to be bad days. You need to get in there for 30 days. If you can get in there for 30 days, 2 weeks, whatever it might be, and you can see a little something, because at first it's just going to hurt, you know, it just sucks. And then you see that you suck, and so, of course, you don't want to go because everyone else sucks less than you. You know, at a lot of times, And so, you know, that is, I would also say that's something else that I think when it comes to working out in these maybe community, you know, mm-hmm. like there's so much more positive, like reinforcement, you know, when you're running down the road and you're walking and someone says, hey, come on, let's go, you know, and you feel the sure. need to pick it up a little bit. Or, you know, if you're doing a partner wad with somebody and you're encouraging and they're encouraging, you know what I mean? Like, you don't like, you know, I saw this thing, it's like secondhand fun, you know, it's the thought of doing it's fun. When you're done with it, you're glad you did it. During it, you're like, man, what the fuck am I doing here?
Well, we kind of give each other shit, but it's all come from a good place. It's kind of like tough love where,
yeah,
like if you don't show up to the gym, somebody's like, man, what's going on? Why are you being a bitch? Like, why?
Yeah.
Where the fuck are you at today? Yeah. Or in the middle of the workout, like, dude, why are you dog?
And that's why that's why earlier I said it was, to me, it was kind of a big benefit to find a class or a group that you could work with, because it's like having, instead of that one partner, you got quite a few of them. And look, one of the, I know Charlie would come either way now, because I would make her, like, that was part of the requirements for her getting a car. I'm like, hey, look. And at first she was like, well, so you tell me I have to work out? I'm like, yeah, I am actually. I'm like, I don't know really a good way to say that, but yes, that's what I'm telling you. For no other reason than it's going to benefit you.
Yeah.
No other reason than it's going to benefit you. And I think she's extremely happy that I made her do that, you know, and now I don't have to make her. She comes every day at 4. And then when we were starting to come here, when she was starting to come here, one of her friends, you know, we were working out in the garage one day, and like a couple, like maybe 2 or 3 days later, her friend was like, hey, Mr. Chris, you think I can come?
Is this Maren?
Yeah, Maren. Okay. She's like, you think I can come to the gym with y'all? And I'm like, yeah, in fact, next week's bring a friend week. You can come for free. You know? And sure as shit, you know, she came every day that week with Charlie. And, you know, Charlie's like, hey, you think her dad's going to let her sign up? I'm like, hey, look, man, like, I don't know the finances. I don't know. You know, I'm like, I hope he does, you know. And sure enough, man, come Saturday, he's like, hey, you know, she's like, hey, Mr. Chris, my dad's going to come, you know, sign up. Will you be there in the morning? I'm like, yeah. And she comes every day. She's got a person
that
they work out together, you know. And granted, you know, they spend a lot of time, you know, dicking off, you know. But
you got to find the balance.
But they come here.
They put in work.
And
they
work out, you know. And I, like, it gives me and her a thing too, like, to talk about and to, you know, like,
that's another conversation piece. You guys have on a regular basis.
I mean, it's a common ground,
yeah.
You know, and that you need that when you have a 16, 17 year old.
Not a whole lot you can relate to at that point.
Yeah. I mean, that's a struggle sometimes, but I mean, she's like one of my best friends. So,
but yeah. It's one of those things where, like, me and Caleb had this conversation. I know me and Caleb had this conversation where there's not many things that you can say, like, product wise or like a business wise, where it's like, hey, you can pay me $100+ a month, and guess what? All the success is really determined on you coming in.
That's right. Hard. Yeah. Yeah. You pay me, but it's really on you. But you can't get, like, when people are like, oh, I'm gonna work out of my house. I'm like, that's cool, you can do it. You'll never, you know, push yourself to that point. And that's where the changes come. Yes. Like, that's where the gains come. That's where the, you know, like, I mean,
that's the magic.
Could someone who's been doing it long enough be like, hey, occasionally I'm going to work out on my own. But if I said tomorrow, hey, I'm not coming here anymore, I'm just going to work out at home. Mm-hmm. Like, would I still work out? Yes. To the extent, no.
Well, I mean, how often?
Would I skip? Yes. Shut them down?
Well, how often would you, let's say you got up at 5 in the morning to go work out in your garage, or you got home from work and you're dog shit tired.
Yeah,
right?
And like, I'd be like, no, I'm not.
How much negotiation happened in your head? To say, like, oh, well, I was in
and I'm a top flight negotiator, so yeah. There's no way I fucking do it.
Like, let's say you're going to do like a 5 hour workout, like, oh, I'm going to do 3 today, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Or you get into the middle of the workout, like, oh, this is pretty tough. A lot tougher than I thought. I'm just going to do half the reps.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
or a
now,
third.
if whatever it may be.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what happens.
So it's not, because some people will even kind of have that discussion where like, well, I mean, like I could just find some workouts online and go do the workouts myself. I'm like, yeah, and that's completely truthful. Like you
Yeah.
could, sign up for any cookie cutter program and do workouts in your garage. And I'm like, but it's not replicable than what it is here. Like you can do whatever you want, but it's not going to be replicable.
No,
Even
and
though the intensity
listen,
levels are going to be completely
it's
different.
not just at your house either. Like, 'cause I've gone to, I've like, I would go to the downtown gym sometimes, and it's just not the same thing. Like the programming's not the same. Of course, I like it there though because I'm good.
Like wreck shop.
I told you one day, I'm like, listen, bro, I don't have to listen to your shit. I can go down there. They think I'm awesome.
I'm
I'm
wrecking
like,
shop over here.
I'm fucking leading the board, son. I'm like, I need to come over here and be fucking halfway up and around. I'm like, no, man, don't fuck with me.
Well, that's, I always tell people that too. I'm like, I don't think people realize, like, as a whole, how fit our gym
Oh
truly
no, you
is.
see people fucking drop in, and you're just like, oof. They're like, you see them dying off, and you're like, oh, that's not good. And I feel like me personally, if I go somewhere out of town and I go drop into a gym, like, I'm not gonna look like a piece of shit.
No.
I'm like, this is nice. Like, why? Because we do stuff that's quite frankly a little tougher, a little harder, and
Well, they do have a lot of CrossFit gyms who do CrossFit Lite.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
It's, well, I say CrossFit. I'm using that as sarcasm, where it's like, all right, guys, we're gonna do an 8-minute AMRAP, and we're gonna do a 100-meter run, we're gonna do 10 sit-ups and 10 med ball squats, like, and that's for.
Yeah. So like whenever I was going to Kansas City, I would look to try to find a gym to go to, and I would be able to get online, and I would like look at their workouts, and I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm gonna waste my time with that. I can
Yeah.
go do that in the fucking I'm gonna do that in the hotel gym, or so you I did find one gym that was like it did have some pretty good workouts to them, but it was a little more gritty of a
Yeah.
place. It wasn't like a spa, so to speak.
Like cobwebs everywhere
Yeah,
and dirt.
right. Yeah, it was fucking dirty, fucking chalk everywhere,
Yeah.
just like, rolling
Old
door.
school
Yeah, it was,
CrossFit gym.
like I was like, okay. And every time I'd go, after going for a while, every, few months or whatever, for as long as I went, when I would drop in the body, oh, hey, man, back. I'm like,
Yeah.
yeah, sadly.
What was the name of that CrossFit gym?
But I don't know. Cross,
I haven't them up and you know
good. I don't know. Fuck, I
the
don't know. It was a good gym though. It wasn't bad.
No, it's only bad thing about CrossFit is that they all kind of lean on each other. And I guess you could probably even say the same thing with car dealerships, where you can go to one and have a horrible fucking
Yeah,
experience.
right.
I'm not, this is like a car salesman, have a horrible experience with somebody, you kind of write them all off, right? Like you go
Yeah.
to one CrossFit gym, you're like, oh, that fucking place sucks. That CrossFit's
I
horrible.
mean, and
Not
not,
knowing they're all individually random
yeah,
off.
and not to, boost your ego too much, but I mean, really and truly, I mean, obviously, you're a huge part of the success because it, and I'm gonna tell you the way I look at it. I'm like, hey, if I'm gonna go do something, like, I want to go to the person who's the best. And there's no one around here that has the same accolades that you have when it comes to doing CrossFit. So why would I go listen to this person tell me what to do or program their workouts when they're not as good as this person? And so it makes a difference. I think the programming obviously is, I mean, it's not like,
It's high.
yeah, I
That's
mean, it could be
decent.
better. I just
It's
don't know.
decent.
Yeah, I mean, some of it sucks, but I think there's a lot of things that we do that we shouldn't,
Like overhead squats.
Overhead squat shouldn't be there. I mean, I feel like it's a dangerous movement. I
Is it
don't think it's.
limited?
Hey, that's another thing I would tell people too. Like, I, you know, because there's so much stuff you should do on your own, but like, I think that the mobility and the stretching aspect of it is, I mean, we hear it, I guess, but like, it's such a huge thing. It's kind of like trying to outwork your bad diet. Like, you're not gonna do it. I mean, you can try,
Well, you're
but
making
if
things a
you,
lot harder,
yeah, but if
so.
you don't want to stretch and don't want to do these things that you
Sure.
need to do, it's like you're only gonna get so far.
Well, like I always tell people, because inevitably somebody comes to me about asking, getting better at CrossFit or whatever else. I'm like, your two lowest hanging fruits that you could do right now that wouldn't require you to necessarily work out anymore is you start focusing on your nutrition, you start to focus on moving better or slash mobility. And like your times would get better anyway.
Yeah.
Without doing anything different.
I think, and that's a big thing like here lately with Charlie. I'm like, hey, look, I'm like, you can't eat less. I'm like, I know it sounds stupid, but you need to eat more.
You still have to
more of the good stuff.
You still got to fuel.
You know, I'm like, because, you know, you can't, your body needs something to run on. I'm like, man, I get, you know, I mean, we'll get finished. If I come work out and I haven't eaten all day, man, it's tough, you know. It makes a huge, huge, huge difference. Especially, you know, I think it's even more so once you get to that point to where it's like, okay, this is as far as I can get like this. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, you want to go to that, you want to get a little better, you got to do a little more.
Yeah.
You know.
But that, you know that Savannah girl that comes around nine, she's got the red hair?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been working in nutrition for about a year now, or like about 10 months. And she's lost like 25 pounds and like 9% body fat.
That's a lot.
It's a lot in a year's time frame. And we were having this discussion yesterday that, you know, she's like, the first couple of months, I wasn't doing anything nutritionally wise. And I was coming here and I was busting my ass and I wasn't seeing any results. Like in the way of like physically, you know, in the mirror, once anything, weight scale, when changes, like if I'm going to put all this time and all this effort into this thing, work as hard as I am, why would I not back this up with some better nutritional practices?
Me and Charlie went and got Crumble Cookie, Crave Cookie, and then Whataburger one night, right?
Yeah. But now you said you
and then she's
imploded.
Like, you know, and she's like, after eating the Whataburger.
Why Crave and Crumble?
Because we're trying to figure out which one was better.
Are trying to do a comparison factor?
I mean, it's just like, you know what, which one do we want? You know, it's like, let's get both.
It's like going to pizza.
Which, quite frankly, they're not as good as the Great American Cookie Company, so we shouldn't have got either one.
Okay.
Yeah, no. But after she ate the Whataburger, she was like, I wish we wouldn't have ate that. And I'm like, isn't that a good feeling? I'm like, right? Like, you're like, you eat that stuff, and you're like, man, you know what? I shouldn't fucking eat that, you know? You shouldn't eat it because of the work that you put in. You know, sure. It's like when you work out, you want to eat better. You know, it's like it's a double edged.
Well, I kind of relate it to, you know, kind of like saving money, right? Yeah. Like you're trying to save money, and then all of a sudden you go and splurge and buy all kinds of shoes and clothes. You're like, fuck! I just did all that work and saved all that money
to
all the time, and just to blow it off.
Yeah,
like that didn't make any fucking sense. The same concept for nutrition and you're working out, right? You put all this hard work, all this energy in trying to get better, get more fit, and you just gonna kill all the gains you could have gotten by just fueling yourself with shit food all the time.
Yeah, I'm guilty.
Oh no, you're plenty guilty.
I'm guilty.
Of this.
I'm guilty.
But if you can speak from practice, going
yeah,
either way.
Yeah, I mean everything that I say. Hey, listen, like whenever I say that, it comes from a place of acknowledgement. You know, like yes, I was. You know, like I was fat. You know, and out of shape, and mm-hmm. felt like shit. You know, to bettering myself.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like I said, I get so much enjoyment out of watching Charlie work out. It's unbelievable. Like it really is. Like,
well, sure, it's cool to see the
because
minutes.
I see her do better and I see her push and I like, you know, and you know, I would show her pictures. She'd be like, well, I mean, how do you like this? I'm like, man, you want to know how much your nutrition matters? I go find old pictures of Lacey on Facebook. And I'm like, mm-hmm. see how skinny fat she
yeah.
was. I'm like, this is terrible. I'm like, look at her now. I'm yeah. like, you know, that's the difference in nutrition. You know, I'm like, you know, huge difference.
But even like the mental transformation that can happen from doing shit like this on a regular basis and kind of hard work and like the desire to do that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool, especially for a girl her age.
Well, and she sees like, so it's funny. She'll like be like, you think I could be as good as Brandy whenever? I mean, because I'm 16 years old.
Her and Maren look up to Brandy.
Right. And Crystal. They like Crystal.
They like Crystal too.
Yeah. I mean, you saw the shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motherfucking Crystal. But yeah, they have a good time. They enjoy it. And I'm just hoping it's something that's that you know, sticks with her. Yeah. And I think it will. I mean, obviously, you know, the older you get, life kind of starts to happen.
Yeah.
But you just, you know, I think if you learn how to make something a priority, you know,
well,
and I'll tell people that, like, hey, look, man, you know, that time, the clock's going to tick. You can either choose to sleep for another hour, or you can get your ass up. You know, take your pick.
Choose your heart.
Yeah. You know, pain of discipline or the pain of regret.
Either one.
And I know which one sucks worse.
No. And that's ultimately what comes down to is it's really two things. It's like they're both hard. Like working out and taking care of your health is fucking hard, but also being miserable and not happy is also hard, right? And it's also, everybody's busy, everybody's got things going on, but it's prioritizing your health over some things as needed.
Yeah, so, I think that having like a better physical health relates to everything so much more, because, you know, when you feel better about yourself, you just, everything else becomes better. When you feel shitty about yourself, no bueno.
All right, well, that's our time cap. We got an hour time cap on this thing.
Thanks for having
me. Later, Hood.
All right, buddy.
All right, Kale.
We doing?
We're just gonna start.
Push it on.
We're gonna.
We're on. All right.
Whatever happens on this podcast happens.
Whatever happens, happens. I like that.
I was just showing Kale, you guys. I would say I looked through the app the other day, the podcast app that we use.
Dude, I listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah. So okay. Well, it's the Spotify podcast app is that we use, and so it shows you a list of your top listened to podcasts.
Okay.
I guess. I remember the exact, like the top one, but I'm like, of course this would be a top three podcast. It's the one, the shit that pisses us off podcast.
Oh, is it the top one?
It's like probably the top three.
Yeah. Okay. I remember when we did that one.
That one's probably a top three. And then shit, Chris Hood's.
Is up there?
I don't want to give Chris Hood credit because he was like, dude, you be on the podcast.
He's been talking about being on this damn podcast for over a year.
Dude, it's got like 100 plus plays on it, which is pretty good for our podcast. It's not like we're pulling in thousands of listeners by any means. And so we'll have to do a little bit more I guess, the interview podcast.
I think people liked it, though. I think it made people interested.
I gotta find some interesting people. I need to do, I wonder how I would go with like Matt Bell or somebody like that.
That could be good. I bet Matt would have a go. That he can storytell too. He's kind of like a.
You gotta have people who can storytell.
Yeah, you gotta have people that can like lead the conversation almost in a way.
Yeah. This freaking Great Harvest.
Oh yeah.
Event's probably gonna have to get freaking changed again.
That's gonna probably. I'm almost positive it's gonna have to get changed.
Well, me and Jen were talking about it because Jen was the one who kind of helped get it organized to start off with, and. Obviously, we had to reschedule because we had all that bad weather that weekend. We scheduled 2 weeks to the day and got more
and even, hail. To be honest, even if you did it last weekend, it would probably rain on you too. Last weekend would have been good.
No,
the weekend before that was bad.
Yeah, well, that was the weekend that we canceled. Yeah. Which we'd end up going to eat a Great Harvest after the workout anyways. And I'd kind of walk back there just to kind of see if we made a good call or not. And it was still pretty damp in the back. It wasn't horrible, but it was been for people moving in the same spot for multiple minutes at a time.
You probably would have been rough.
Yeah. And so we'll probably get to reschedule the damn thing again. Tentatively, right now, everything's
still as a plan right now, though.
Yeah. Tentatively, we're still going to have the Great Harvest thing on the 18th at 8:30, but don't be surprised, Asa, we have to shift that around again. I would like to obviously do it some point in time. We're going to probably have to postpone it probably until June if we do, just because we got Murph coming up with Memorial Day and whatnot. So we'll probably have to reshift that around to probably June. I would like to do also a movement and mimosas thing again, probably like maybe like late July.
Okay.
Just because that's kind of the time frame, you know, there's not really sports going on for the kids.
Sure.
The only possibility is maybe people start taking late vacations before school starts, potentially.
In July, yeah.
But that's the idea, sometime July, maybe doing something like that. I would like to do something, like either do like something here or outside the gym walls, at least every two or three months, ideally, if we can.
Oh, yeah, pool party, right?
Pool party, June 29th. It's June 29th. That's Cindy's place again. So it'd be the same location that we hosted that last year. Well, she has a really good setup.
I told her that the other day. I was like, you probably have like one of the better setups for like a pool party.
Yeah, because we've hosted it in three other places before Cindy's.
Yeah.
Cindy definitely has the best overall setup for something like that.
There's a lot of room. Like, you have like a big, we played volleyball in an area that's huge. Like, you could have set up another court on the side of our court.
Sure.
Like, you had the pool area, you had a little patio, everybody's playing washers, so it worked out well.
This year, I'll actually be able to.
You'll actually be able to play volleyball this year.
Because
I forgot. That was right after your knee surgery.
I had knee surgery in March, and then three months later, we had the pool party, so I couldn't... Even though I was walking around, I couldn't really play.
You were playing, but like you weren't playing.
Yeah, I kind of stayed in one spot the whole time. And so that'll be June 29th, so that's always a good time. And so anything else we're kind of missing right now? I'm not going to really talk about kids camp. Kids camp's pretty much fooled out.
I mean, that's done, right?
Pretty much. Like, if somebody comes up and asks, we maybe got like one or two spots, but I'm not...
Really, enough. Trying to fill.
We're not really pushing those out because that's pretty
much. Someone asked about that yesterday. I think who asked me about that? I'm not gonna put you on blast, but I'll tell you after.
Okay. I'm sure that person they're listening to is like
crazy. I probably know.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'll have to figure out, we need a list together of people that we...
for podcasts?
And I'm sure somebody will listen to this moment right now, the podcast,
gonna,
and they'll instantly
comment their names on it.
Send us a Facebook message, like, I want to do it.
Well, I mean, send us your names.
I'm down. Easy. I'll get a list of people who want to do it and whatever else, and we'll schedule up some time.
I thought Hodes was good. I liked hearing about, like, how he felt about CrossFit with his kids.
The only thing is, I'm not doing a podcast at like 7 o'clock at night or on a Sunday or whatever it may be. Like, it's going to have to be sometime. If you have a work schedule that allows you to do it sometime in the middle of the day, that's how we're going to get
it. Lunchtime hour for Mr. Spell.
Yeah, I'm not rescheduling my whole entire day to do a podcast at 8 o'clock at night. Yeah, I'm not doing that. I eventually got to do a podcast with Kaylee over the summer.
That would be a good one. That could be a fun one. I should definitely do that.
I don't know how that's going to go.
I mean, I think it would be a good one.
It's just going to be
a lot of banter.
Maybe a 1 hour podcast of her just trashing me.
Trash? Well, there'd definitely be some of that. But I think it would still be a good one, though.
You know what's one thing she didn't really brought up in a long time. She's probably going to listen to this portion of the podcast and start giving me the side eye. But there for the longest time, like, she would throw out those little dicks about missing the game by 1 point.
By 1 point? Dude, she would throw them out often.
Back in the day.
I feel like.
It doesn't really get brought up anymore, but back in the day, she like, well, at least in Mr. Crossing.
I wish you could be there for the first time she said that.
Oh, God. I don't know. That's going down memory lane. That's 10 years ago, pretty much now.
Is that really 10 years
ago? It'd be 10 years ago, pretty much now. Because that was in 2014. Yeah, so it was 10 years ago.
10 years? Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
And because the next year we went team after that.
I can't even realize like how long we've been doing CrossFit.
Who, me or you?
Both of us.
Well, what year did you start? What, 2015?
It was like end of 2014.
Okay.
So almost 10 years for me.
Yeah. I was at the end of 2011, which I'm sure we talked about a little bit how we got started with CrossFit.
Yeah. On the podcast. I'm pretty sure we did a whole podcast.
Yeah. But that was late 2011. It was
a long time for CrossFit.
It was either September or October of 2011.
2011?
Did I ever tell you when the first time I did Diane?
I don't think so. I don't think I've heard your Diane story.
So the first month so it was a special when I signed up at that point in time. They were doing a 30 days for $30. Okay. And this is when John had just opened up the South location. Jesus Christ.
That was a bomb, dog.
I don't. You got Milo and Claire and the kids right next to us, literally breaking down walls. But John had just opened up the South location right here.
Okay.
And so he was still, you know, part owner of the Broad Street location in downtown Lake Charles and had just opened up this one like probably a month prior to that. Okay. And so they were doing a 30 for 30 special where you could, you know, sign for 30 days, $30, and come to any class you wanted to. Well, during that 30-day block, you had to, you know, you could go either box that you wanted, but eventually you had to sign up one or the other.
Sure.
And the way my school schedule was that semester, they had different class times, different boxes. It wasn't like they had the same exact class schedule.
Okay.
And so, like, Tuesdays and Thursdays worked out better for me at the downtown box, or, like, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays worked out better the other year. So I would kind of bounce around from box to box during that month time frame. And it was, like, probably my second week. And I was at downtown box. I'd gone in the morning. It was, like, the 5 o'clock in the morning class. It's, like, me and, like, three other people. And the workout's Diane, 21:59, handstand push-ups, and deadlifts at 225.
Okay.
So... And I had, you know, lifted with football and done still traditional
lifting,
right? And probably at the time, I probably had a 400-plus pound deadlift at the time. And so, like, 225, like, this is
nothing.
Which it was at the time, like, 3-2-1 go. I mean, I ripped 321 unbroken.
Sure.
Flip up on the wall. And I probably did, like, 5 strict handstand push-ups. Didn't know how to kip, obviously, at the time. Well, fast forward... Diane is supposed to be a workout. I think probably the average time for Diane is probably between like 4 and 7 minutes.
Yeah, 4 or 5, 6 minutes.
Something like that. I mean, faster times, you know, 3 minutes roughly. I'm pretty sure the workout took me 18 minutes.
18 minutes?
Yeah.
Like 1:08?
Like 1:08, 18 and change.
Oh, my goodness.
Like it was one of those things where
gracious.
Like you're that guy in class where everybody has been done for 7 minutes and you're still going. Oh, I was that guy that day.
Oh, no.
18 minutes.
I hate Diane also. Just, I hate that workout.
Just because I couldn't do it once or 10 seconds at a time.
Push failure.
Yeah. You don't like the deadlifts, though.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't like that workout. But 18 minutes is a long time to be staring at a wall. That's a long time, though.
Just singles, failing reps, left and right. No, and, of course, I get through the 21 handstand pushups. I go to the round of 15, do some dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, knock out 15 really fast. And you're back on the wall, though. And right back on the wall in less than, like, 20 seconds.
That's how that workout works. The only time I've ever felt like that, I think we did, like, a version of, like, strict JT. And I remember just... First time I ever did strict JT. I think I hit like failure like fast.
So if you don't know what JT is 21-15-9. Handstand push-ups, ring dips, and push-ups.
And I hit failure on the push-ups. Mm-hmm. Of all things, I hit failure on the push-ups.
So you think looking at it, you're like, okay, well, the handstand push-ups and ring dips are going to be kind of tough, but the push-ups are going to be cake. Because only 21-15-9, I can do this no problem.
You're like, that's the easiest pressing movement out of all three movements.
All three movements. Which technically it is, but with that kind of volume that's been accumulated, all the pressing is gone. I remember, like, on the run of 9, doing, like, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 all through 9.
Dude, I remember being in a bind the first time I did that workout strip. Because I was like, oh, I've done a kipping before. Like, mm-hmm. It's cake, you know? Oh, my. I remember doing...
Yeah, if you do a kipping, it's not as bad.
Kipping's not bad.
Doing
it
strict.
You can stay moving and, like, doing sets of 3s and 4s and 5s, yeah. Whatever you need. But strict is a different ballgame.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the dips into the push-ups or what it is, but it... messes me up.
That's actually kind of a, I'll say fun. Oh, well, here comes Claire. I do not know where Milo is, Claire. Claire, we're currently on a podcast.
Why?
What do you mean, why? We're talking.
You have.
I have podcasting.
He's got a
podcast. Go find Milo. Goodbye. Goodbye. Close the door. Goodbye. Okay, we'll go find him. Goodbye. But it's one of those workouts where, because all you're doing is press. Your intensity falls off pretty dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not really breathing all that heavy. So it's a change of pace kind of workout, but it's also...
It's a fun one, though. And it's a fun one. It just sucks.
It's frustrating, though, because you feel like you want to go because you're not really huffing and puffing, but you have to wait because all your
breath... Literally can't.
Exactly, right? It'd be like you doing pull-ups, barbell rows, and bicep curls.
Sure.
And you're just going to hit muscle.
Literally can't curl the bar up, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of muscle failure, today's workout was a good one with the strict pull-ups.
Dude, yesterday's workout took people's...
Was it trashing people?
Souls,
okay,
dude.
You being one of them.
I'm 100% one of them. Heidi saw me hyperventilating in the driveway on round 3. But so many people quit that workout yesterday.
Quit?
I have not seen that many people quit in a workout in a day. I mean, we probably had
really?
six people in the afternoon just say, I'm not doing this workout.
Why?
Like, I think Tom, Crystal...
Oh, you're name dropping.
Oh, yeah. Tom, Crystal, Shaw. Dude, there's a bunch of people that just said, nah, like, I'm done. In, like, the third round.
Why?
Like, just done.
They say why?
Shaw said he had no juice. He said he had no juice. Crystal was, like, literally defeated. She was like, I just literally don't want to do any of this. Tom, he was said something about his back. And then I know Derek also quit. There's another person that quit, I'm pretty sure. There's a lot of people, too, that quit that workout.
Well, I think yesterday was hot.
And I will say that was the first hot day that we've had, like, a run or mm-hmm. something, I think, so far this year.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more main reasons why. Because even yesterday afternoon when I was at home, I was outside doing some stuff, and that was one of the first afternoons I was like, this feels
it's
like
hot.
Summer yeah. weather today. And that was like the first run that we like outdoor workout that we've had where you're running and that's kind of a 90-degree temperature.
Sure.
And so that just wears you down. And plus that's just a simple but not easy
yeah.
workout. Because all the volume was not super high, but it's high enough to make you want to quit.
Yeah.
Or think about breaking it up a little bit. And so I need to start programming a little bit more like simplistic.
Like you have been, kind of.
I'm trying to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get
like
back.
The last like three weeks, maybe a month or so. You
yeah.
Have.
I've been trying to get to a little bit more like more simplistic ish kind of workouts where it's like kind of like how hard are you wanting to push all this stuff because you can pretty much probably do it all
unbroken.
And the biggest thing is going to be separating you from you having a time that you want and a time that's not going to be so great is going to be based off what's upstairs
sure.
at that moment. Those are always very mentally challenging.
Those are sometimes the funnest, but yet sometimes like the most aggravating.
Well, because you can't hide anywhere, really, you know what I mean? Huh? I don't care. I was asking for snacks. But it's, you can't hide anywhere. No. Where, you know, some workouts where you're going to break things up, or I can get on the rower and kind of back off my pace, or go on the bike and slow down the bike, whatever it may be, where you can kind of back off the pace and kind of rest a little bit. You don't have that opportunity in workouts like that. So I'm trying to program a little bit more in that same
point. That was good. And if y'all don't know which one we're talking about, we're talking about the four Wednesday rounds. Workouts, 4 rounds, 40-meter run, 15 dumbbell thrusters, and 45 double unders. Mm-hmm. That was taking people's lives. And then Cindy Reed did that wall ball workout yesterday.
Oh, the bike one?
The bike one.
The leg endurance piece?
She didn't really believe me that it was going to blow her legs up like that. She was like, oh, no, I love all these work movements. I was like, I think there's multiple people that like these movements but didn't like the workout. And she gets done with the workout. She's like holding on to both rig poles. She's got her hands on both rig poles. And she's just kind of standing there. I'm like, what's wrong, Sandy Reed? She's like, my legs are on fire.
Well, I think a lot of people even yesterday, they finished that first round and went out for that second run.
Yeah.
And legs were just toasted.
Legs were done. Yesterday's workout was weird, though. I didn't feel like I was like, it was like all lungs, I felt like. That's what I felt like it was. I felt like it was all lungs.
All right, we got a phone call, so we're back. So Kel does his workout about, what time was it? About 2:30 in that range. And so obviously it's hot as hell at that point in time. He's doing it by himself, which doesn't help out any. But I looked over, it's probably like the third round, maybe the fourth.
Third round shit was hitting the fan.
So I see you come in, you finish your thrusters, and you literally pick up your jump rope and just go into the fetal, like, leaned over position for a good, like, 10, 15
seconds. So I just do that, and I'm in my head, I'm thinking, I probably look like Kaylee Spell right now.
It's kind of what you did right
now. But now I can come in and grab the dumbbells and go. But after I did the dumbbells, it was every time I was like, I do not want to jump.
That's the first time you used 50s in a long time, huh?
It's the first time in like 3 years.
So yeah.
It was 50. Which felt good. Felt good. Been using the 40s. They're kind of my friends right now.
Yeah.
But no, they felt good.
There's a big difference between the 40s and the 50s.
I will say that. There is a ginormous difference from 40s and 50s. Like, the 50s feel like 100-pound dumbbells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, like, feeling-wise, like, on your shoulders, compared to the 40s. 40s feel like 30s, to be honest.
So, you get 100-pound dumbbells. Do semifinals start this weekend?
I think so. Didn't you say they did?
I think they did.
Yeah.
I think you're wrong.
Did you see all the shit talking with, like, Jason Hopper and Colt Mertens and mm-hmm. Who else is the other guy? Dallin Pepper.
Are they all competing against each other?
I don't know, but I know that they're all, like, shit-talking on social media, and, like, they all posted a video online shit-talking each other, and apparently Jason Hopper's is horrible. Like, it's, like, cringeworthy. Like,
he's not a good shit-talker.
No. And they're, like, all making, like, Saban, like, they're all blowing his shit up right now. But also, did y'all know that Cody Spell is famous on YouTube? He got one Hiller Fit.
Yeah.
Hiller Fit. If anybody wants to go watch him on Hiller Fit, the crazy coach screaming.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
That was cool.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No, I didn't think it was bad. You had one. I think it was one rep that I was like, nah. But all the others were like pretty much poor.
Yeah. So what it kind of got my mind rolling on this one is that we're kind of talking about, you know, semifinals and things like that. Like, what do you feel? I guess it's kind of a broad question because there's like so many different avenues you can go down with this. But like when somebody comes to you and says, how do I get better at CrossFit?
Oh, okay.
Like, where do you even have, where does that conversation go? Like, where's your,
like, where do you go
from? Honestly, you'd have to probably ask that individual person. Also, if you know them as an athlete. So it's different case scenarios, right? Like, you probably based off who comes up to you would be a different answer, right? But generally, like, where does your mind normally go right off the gate?
Out the gate, I would probably say, like, I just think of, like, can you move through a workout, like, well, and, like, not have, like, these big, big, like, breaks? Or, like, I don't know. I think more, like, I'm trying to get you to probably be able to stay moving a whole workout at first.
So you're not saying, so if somebody comes to you, like, I guess just, you got option. This is scenario one and scenario two. Let's say somebody comes to you and they're like, hey, I want to get better at CrossFit, right, as an example. But they're like, I also don't have a whole lot of time to do anything extra, right? Like, let's say that's scenario one. What's your answer to that?
I mean, at that point in time, let's say you just got an hour and you just want to get good at CrossFit. I think you have to probably, like, reevaluate, like, how you're looking at every class squad. and like really, really dive into like the specifics of like how hard you're actually going and like the intensity of the workout. And I just think you have to pick it apart a whole lot more than if you're just like coming in here just Joe Blow and like working out just to work out.
More of a thinking athlete.
Yeah, like you're more like you're, it turns into less of like, oh, I'm just coming here getting a workout, to more of like, all right, I'm gonna have to think about this workout a little bit more and like rep scheme it and like actually strategize and like try to maybe do things that I suck at in the WOD.
So kind of like piggybacking off what you're saying, and also depends on the person. Like first off, I would probably resort to, okay, how often are you coming in first off?
Sure.
You know, if you're skipping days and you're only coming in 3 times a week, 2 times a week.
I'm thinking of somebody that's coming in 5 times a week. Like,
yeah, that'd be the lowest hanging fruit. Is like, I see coming in more consistently. Be one, two would be, and we have this conversation as well where we'll have somebody who is just a normal gym goer, doesn't really spend any time extra outside the class, not doing like Hurricane X or like that. And like, we'll have this conversation and be like, oh man, Johnny over there has been fucking crushing this year lately. And it has to do more so with the intentionality that he's bringing to each class session, right? Like, he's being more mindful of what weights he's putting on the barbell and the strength pieces. He's being more mindful, like, pushing his intensity inside of the workouts, right? And he's not doing anything extra outside that, but just the simplicity of showing up and being very intentional with what you're doing goes a really, really long ways in improving overall, right? And I think sometimes as people, we'd like to like try to overly complicate the system. And even times when we can even do that, where that conversation go in a way more complex pattern, which I guess we'll probably talk about in just a minute. But I would say for 90%+ of you guys, it's just a simplicity of coming in on a consistent basis, 4 to 5, even 6 times a week for a lot of, some of you guys, and then putting the intentionality, the intensity inside of each training session. And you're not just kind of doing it by the seat of your pants. It's kind of, like you said, it's kind of going by feel, right? And it's even the simplistic thing of the mindset, kind of you said, staying moving in a workout.
Yeah.
I think of it of starting something before you're ready.
Sure, yeah.
Right? Like you'll see a lot of people, as an example,
That's huge.
They'll start a station, like they're doing a station, right? And they'll finish that station. And they get to the next station and they'll kind of sit there and rest, get some chalk, and then they start the station, right? When they're ready to start the station. If you can have the mindset of, as soon as I get to the box, I'm gonna start the box
show.
Or as soon as I get to the pull-up bar, I'm gonna start doing pull-ups, right? Regardless of whatever rep scheme you have in your head, I'm just gonna pick up the barbell and start doing the
get what I can get.
And just start the next thing, because that's what's gonna allow you to push the paces, keep the intensity higher, and that's how you're gonna see better progress, right? Compared to having like, I gotta do sets of 5 or I gotta do sets of 15 on these things. I'm just gonna pick up the ball and start doing wobbles. Whatever happens, happens. And so that's probably your easiest method to go by without doing anything extra than what you're doing, right? So let's say you have somebody where they come to you like, hey man, like I really wanna like try to push the envelope on this thing and I want to spend a little extra time before or after class. What do you think I should do? Like, what do you, and like, where does your mindset go from there?
One, I got to figure out if you are strong or if you're weak, or if you're good at cardio, if you're bad at cardio, if you're good at class wise, if you're bad at class wise. Mm-hmm. But normally, I mean, I can look at a member and kind of tell you those 3 things right off the bat.
Based off what you've experienced.
Based off just like what I can see in a workout. I mean, I see y'all work out literally every day.
Sure.
And so based off of that, I think you kind of create a game plan, figure out what their weaknesses are, what their strengths are. And then at that point in time, it's going to be doing a lot of stuff that you probably don't want to enjoy or don't really enjoy weaknesses-wise. You're going to be doing a lot of weakness stuff.
Because naturally, you don't want to do things you're
doing. Well, no, I mean, naturally, you're just going to want to gravitate towards like doing the things that you want to do, right? Mm-hmm. Or doing the things that you're good at. But you're still going to do the things that you're good at. But it's going to be more of like a... We're programming this more towards your weaknesses, and we're just trying to maintain your strengths at that point in time.
Sure.
Right? You might get a little better at your strengths, but for the most part, you're doing those longer conditioning pieces, or maybe you're doing like an EMOM with different machines. It just depends on what you're bad at, what you're good at. You might be doing more lifting than anything. But for most of y'all, I think that's probably what it would look like.
I think of like in buckets.
Buckets.
Like you have like
filling your buckets.
Like your sure. three primary buckets you could kind of go with when it comes to CrossFit is like obviously conditioning, strength, and then gymnastics as like your three
sure.
primary go-to buckets, right? And then each bucket could have its own individual buckets inside themselves, really, if you wanted to. But that's where your first one is, okay, out of these three, what is their weakest of these three? And for some, it's like, okay, you really need to you're really bad at all these things,
yeah.
really, you know, for some people.
Sometimes.
And so it's like, okay, which one is the least filled out of all these buckets that we have to fill in these potholes? And then obviously it kind of bridges from there. And based off, because the thing is, like, being realistic, you only have so many X amount of hours a day that you can devote, and people have families and they have jobs, and there's only so much you can do. And so just taking, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes twice a week can bring up a weak area relatively fast,
yeah.
especially if you never really spent a whole lot of time working on this one individual thing. Because the way we program is obviously as a GPP, general physical preparedness, where we're looking at it like a full rounder spectrum of fitness here. And we're kind of making sure we're touching all these bases, right? But as an example, if you're really bad at pull-ups, as an example, wow, Kel.
It's okay. It's okay.
Pull-ups as an example, and we're doing pull-ups once a week, you know, and you're doing it under a high-stress environment of, like, high heart rate, then you've never really gone through a true strength progression with pull-ups with enough volume to accelerate your progress at a faster rate,
yeah.
right? As just one of many examples that you could possibly use here. And so, and then once you get that to an area that now we feel is comparable to other areas, then you work on the next
sure.
thing, right? And this is
like building blocks.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, or laying down bricks or whatever it may be.
There's
like,
always something to build on. That's the cool thing about
that tower is never
yeah,
fully
that, you're
finished.
Never going to be, unless you're Matt Frazier, you're not
yeah.
building all these
Matt
blocks.
Matt Frazier, Rich Froning, somebody like that.
Somebody. Matt Frazier is the one for me, I think.
And he technically is the GOAT in
he's
the way.
He's my
of,
Michael Jordan. And then Michael
Oh,
Brown.
No.
Yes.
No.
100%. Yes.
Hell,
yes.
He's not Michael Jordan.
Matt Frazier for CrossFit? Yes, 100%. You can't say he's not. I would say like the LeBron person would be like, you're Rich Froning.
No!
Yes.
That's the opposite,
no,
bro.
Not for me.
It's the opposite.
I think of dominance. I think of like, he's in the competition, he's winning it. I'm thinking of Matt Frazier. That's what I think of.
See, I think of the, and maybe, I don't know. It's just the era that I grew up. Maybe I'm biased. Because you're more of a basketball statistic guy than me. Does LeBron have more statistical, higher measures than Jordan?
There is nothing statistically that Michael Jordan is better at than LeBron. If you look at just numbers.
So is LeBron statistically better than Jordan on paper?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So that's how I view Matt Frazier and Rich Froning.
Okay.
Is that by paper statistically, Matt Frazier is the GOAT in the way of statistics.
Okay, I'm ready to hear the second.
But in the way of how people viewed and intimidated, I felt like Froning laid the pathway for that first.
You think so?
I think
more people are intimidated Rich than Matt?
At the moment, yes, I think Rich was.
Like in the time? In
yes.
his time versus in
Matt's in the time, game. Maybe not. I mean, could be wrong there. Because, I mean, Matt Frazier had many CrossFit games in there where he completely
I mean, for three years, I mean, there was, okay, Matt Frazier's winning. Like, there's nobody.
Even, the last, like, two or three events.
There
was
no, like, no one even. He didn't have to work out the last day a lot of times. And I just always remember watching Rich have to, like, tooth, nail, and fight on the last day to, like, win a lot of times.
Sure.
That's how I see it, right? I like that comparison right there.
The Jordan versus...
I was a fan of it.
I
was a big fan.
Are you more of a Jordan guy or a LeBron guy?
I have become more of, if I were to say anything, more of a Kobe guy.
Than the three of them?
Than not the three of them. I think LeBron's the GOAT. I think LeBron's the GOAT.
In a way, statistically.
I mean, for as long as he's done it, it's hard for me to argue at this point in time. I mean, 20 years of averaging, like 28, whatever it is. Like, it's crazy. He has every record in the book.
The only thing is, though, I think people use that argument of, kind of talk about the fear thing.
Yeah.
And that LeBron doesn't have, like, that same, like, look in his eye.
Well, it's just
as, like Kobe and Jordan did.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to come
well,
here
it's
and
a, it's a mentality, right? It's
yeah,
like,
a mentality thing.
Right? It's a mentality thing. It's a, they, like, Jordan and Kobe had that, like, I'm going to one-on-one you and I'm just going to score 50 on you.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's like, I'm going to make the best basketball play. Whether it's
exactly.
passing the corner, whether I'm passing the post, whether
yeah.
I'm alley-ooping it, whether I'm shooting a three, whatever it is, like no matter what it is, you could be a bench player sitting in the corner. He's going to throw it to the bench player.
Yeah. I feel like that's probably the biggest difference. Like, you know, I think LeBron's is kind of like, I'm going to make the best basketball decision, regardless that involves me passing the ball, sure, or me scoring or me not
making. He gets a lot of shit for that.
Compared to Jordan and Kobe, like, give me the fucking ball.
If you don't give me the ball, and I'm fighting you after the game.
Exactly. Right? Like, I'm the one about to take this thing over. And that was the difference in mentality compared to LeBron. So I think that's where the difference
is. And I think that's where a lot of people lose it. Yeah. And then I think a lot of people lose the argument because they're like, oh, Michael Jordan was 6-7 in the finals.
Sure.
He also got swept like 2 or 3 times before that. That's just the finals record. Like, his playoff record is not 6-0. That aggravates me. That's a good conversation that'll get me going. But that would be my Matt and Rich for sure. You know, second for me, like all time.
What do you mean? Second,
like,
what?
CrossFit, just like in general.
Like your, what were we talking
like
about?
Like Mount Rushmore. I would say like Mount Rushmore.
Like your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So like for me, it would be like probably Rich first. And then Rich just, the favorite. Not like GOAT of all time. This is just like favorite CrossFitter ever. Yes. Like growing up, watching it, like learning from it and everything. Mm-hmm. Rich, number one. Number two for me is Chris Buehler.
I like Chris Buehler. I couldn't resonate as much with Chris Buehler because I wasn't necessarily, I'm more of a taller guy than a shorter guy. Like, I know, like, Terrio back in the day really liked Chris Buehler.
Really liked him. I don't know why I really liked him. I always liked him. I don't know why. I don't know what it was just about him, because he wasn't, like, great at really anything besides, mm-hmm, like, pull-ups. I think it was just, like, the gritty, just grind.
I can't think of I'm trying to think. There was like,
I think his programming, like when he first came out.
Oh, the school programming. Day.
Yeah, when he first came out.
He's good workouts.
Oh, they were good. They were hard.
They good workouts.
They were really good.
I would say Rich Fronte. Like, I had like a top three. I'm trying to think of like my third would be.
I was thinking about third, and I'm like, I don't know if I
have a third. I don't know if I have a third. I really liked Rich Fronte. Is probably my favorite CrossFit Games athlete of all time. Either second or third would be like a Brent Finkowski.
You like Brent? You do like
Brent. I like Brent. He's...
Because you're like, he's your tall guy that does well.
He does well, and like, he... I resonate with like he sucks handstand pushups, sure, things like that, right? So like, I can resonate with how he is as an athlete. It kind of resonates kind of more.
I like hearing him talk about CrossFit.
And he's very engineering, like, type-esque, yeah, mindset when it comes to CrossFit. I kind of like that as well. But I don't know, it comes like a third favorite. Because like, back in the day when I grew up, it was... all these guys like Ben Smith and Jason Kalipa, sure, and Neil Maddox and all these guys.
Dude, Neil Maddox. That's a freak.
Neil Maddox back in the day.
He's still a freak.
Man, I miss the old CrossFit days. I was actually watching one of the Hiller videos, and he was talking to Saxon Pancheck, and I think I brought this up to you a couple weeks ago. Like, the biggest difference I think right now between like the CrossFit Games of old and the CrossFit Games of currently, and why people maybe have a disconnect to like the CrossFit Games now compared to Wiz back in the day, where everybody kind of knew CrossFit Games athletes. I guarantee you right now, probably 60 to 70% of people in our gym probably couldn't name a very relevant current CrossFit Games athlete for the most part, other than like Tia Claire Toomey, sure, and like Justin Medeiros and maybe like Brooke Wells, right? Like, and that's more of like social
probably media. Probably like 10 CrossFit athletes right now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And so like back in the day, like you could name probably over half the field.
Yeah.
Right? And because those guys were more submerged inside the CrossFit community, right? Like, these guys were coaches, they're gym owners, they're seminar staff,
they're
people.
On staff, yeah.
They're on the CrossFit pages, not just always in the way of showing them working out, but them also like doing videos like, hey, nutrition,
sure,
or coaching somebody, or like movements, things like that. And all that's kind of gone away, where all these guys now hardly even work out at CrossFit. It's like working out their own. All right, we have a third interruption, or second interruption, sorry. So, but that's, I think it was the biggest difference between the old school days and now the current days. But
oh, definitely.
Who's your third?
Okay, my third. I was thinking about this. James Hogarth. I'm going out in the
world. I like James Hogarth.
I'm going James Hogarth. He's going to make my top three.
Yeah.
I feel like I always watched his YouTube, and then once he came out with Hand Plan, I think I watched his stuff a lot.
Yeah.
I really liked him, like, on the YouTube series, like, him, like, talking to everybody and, like, I don't know. I just felt like he was a good guy.
Yeah. So, but I think that's probably the biggest difference between now and then back in the day. And so I miss those days, and I wish somehow, some way they could get that back. I don't know if they ever will. I think maybe it's just the golden days that, you know, as things first started up, like that's the golden era that you'll never see ever again. I don't, because I mean, I think now the way people are, at least those top CrossFit Games athletes, is that, they're getting paid enough money through sponsorships, and through prize money that they don't have to be involved in those sure. things and make a supplementary income. Now
you're marketing for yourself, right?
Yeah, it's all about you.
Right. They're trying to get brand deals, sponsorships. So like, it just looks a whole lot different than like back in the day.
Yeah. Well, these guys weren't making any money off this stuff, right? They may make like a couple $100, $1,000 a year off like a little bit of endorsements, a little bit of prize money, but they had to make money elsewhere, sure. right? And that came usually from coaching or running an affiliate or working for CrossFit. And so all these people that were the poster child of CrossFit also were really good CrossFit like Games athletes.
CrossFit.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the same anymore. I think a lot of these guys are just doing it. And then once they're done, they're done.
I told you that a long time ago. I was like, I feel like there's a lot of people now that are in the CrossFit Games and the guys, girls division, but like they're just good at a sport. And then once their sporting career is over, like I don't see them doing CrossFit to like maintain physical health or yeah. anything like that. I think it's like, all right, CrossFit's over, CrossFit career's over, I'm done, right?
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, whatever. But that's kind of how I would see it.
Yeah. I miss those days. I wish they would come back, but I don't know if they ever will. But so I don't know. This podcast kind of bounced all over the place a little
bit. We're all over a little bit.
But that's fine too. we didn't really have any game plan going into this. Usually we have a topic of discussion that we want to talk on. So we just kind of
hear everybody else's Michael Jordan, LeBron debate.
Well, I guarantee you somebody's going to listen to this and come into the front desk and automatically start like, there's no way LeBron is better than Michael Jordan. You know, people are, I'm not, 100%. I don't have enough knowledge and I don't have enough interest in the sport of basketball. I like basketball. I watch basketball in the playoff time, but I don't have enough intuition to really give myself a good argument.
An argument?
On either way.
I don't even put them in an argument anymore. I just think that they're...
Is that an argument to be made?
They're like
your mind?
Two total different categories to me. It's like you have the most dominant player in finals history in Michael Jordan, and then you have the best, if we're talking about the best basketball player, meaning the best all-around basketball player, passing, rebounding, shooting, defending.
LeBron.
Is LeBron. And as long as he's done it, like he's done it for 20, 21 years now.
Somebody's punching their steering wheel right now.
100%. But I'm like, at the same time, like the dude got into the league at 18 and has sure. been the best player in the
All-Star
league
since
for
then.
20 years.
Has he made All-Stars every year he's played?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it.
I know the first couple years he did.
I think the second year they went to the playoffs. So like, I don't know. I don't know. It's hard for me to argue. I saw another good argument the other day. We don't have to get into it, but
we're making this into a sports podcast.
Yeah, it's more of a sports podcast. This one, Jennifer's probably killing herself. But
so, anyways, I gotta get out of here. Anyways, Carter's got a award ceremony. So hopefully, you guys enjoyed a little bit more of the banter type S. We're not necessarily jamming on anything in particular. It's kind of jumping all over the place. So make sure you give Kel shit if you disagreed with him.
It's not even that. I'm not even saying Michael Jordan is the. Whatever, fine.